It's the spookiest location of all, a well-lit sunflower farm in North Dakota. Tiny baby Kristen Stewart has to fight ghosts that are as unconvincing as they are underwritten in The Messengers, which apparently was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Hi, I'm Sean Collier. I'm here with two other scientists who are hoping to talk to Gina Davis at this conference. It's Robin Hitchcock.
Steak science.
And Camila Adams.
Science, bitch!
The Fly, 87 and a third. As mentioned, that is just outside of our top 10. In fact, it's 11. That is our 11th.
Oh, so close.
Highest rated film. The current top 10 cutoff is Speed at 87.67. You must be better than Speed.
Well, he's Keanu safe this round.
That's right.
Shout out to the Keanu review.
Oh, R.I.P. Or rest what? In stasis, let's say.
Remain in suspended animation. Go listen to it. The movies they're talking about haven't changed.
That's true.
It's all fresh, still there.
It's fresh to you. That was then. Now is The Messengers. Frequently, I start the conversation by saying something like, what is your relationship with this film beforehand? And I think we can all agree, complete ignorance of its existence.
Because exactly. This movie does not exist. Is it time for our game that I've prepared?
Oh, if please. You have, please.
Yeah, what's this about?
I have prepared a game called Does This Movie Exist?
Let me just guess. You're going to name a movie and maybe some detail about it. And we have to guess whether or not you made it up.
That's correct. That okay. is exactly the game. I have the name of the movie and I have two stars.
Oh, okay.
That's the information that you get.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then you get to determine if this exists or does not exist. Are we ready?
Yeah.
The first potential movie is Grace Notes with Mandy Moore and Gabriel Union.
That sounds really real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fake. I made it up.
I could picture the poster. Right. I was like,
I had shades of lavender in my poster.
Yeah. It's one of those that's white. It has a lot of pictures, like three pictures in a line.
Yes.
You know, it's like,
the two of them in the middle pose. Is,
right,
smiling.
Right. Okay.
All right. Pride with Terrence Howard and Bernie Mac.
Yes.
That is real.
That's
that is
a basketball
real.
Movie?
I think so. Maybe a swimming pool is
some
involved?
Sort of sports. Mm-hmm.
Sports. It's sports. Yes. Fireflies in the Garden with Ryan Reynolds and Julia Roberts.
There's no way that's real.
No.
Totally real.
What? Ryan Reynolds and Julia garden. Roberts shared screen time?
I'm not sure. It's possible that she was only in flashbacks with his young self.
There we go.
Okay.
But still, they shared a movie. That's
real movie. All right.
It sounds like, you know when they were giving fake movie titles at the end of Naked Gun 3? the fake Oscars? Fire.
Okay.
It's a poem, which is relevant to the plot. It's a Robert Frost poem. Okay. Redstone Creek with Dennis Quaid and Ashley Judd.
That is so convincing that it must be fake.
Yes, it's real.
It's fake.
Got it.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice.
An Unfinished Life with Jennifer Lopez and Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
That is real. Yes. Have you seen that?
No, it's been in my Netflix queue for like 18 years.
It sounds kind of good. Robert Redford's also in it. Anyway, Blackout Window with Tommy Lee Jones and Don Cheadle.
He's done a lot of crap. So I watched The Burial, and I was like, he must not work anymore. And I looked and, oh no, he does.
Tommy Lee or Don Cheadle?
Tommy Lee. It's just a lot of very marginal, almost like Bruce Willis-y. For that reason, I'm going to say real.
What was the name? What was the title?
Blackout Window.
Real.
Fake. Made it up.
Did you look over at your window when trying to come up with a name for your fake title?
No. I think actually I was watching sports on HBO Max and feeling a way about it is where that came from.
Oh, Blackout Window. I see. You know who's great at these is ChatGPT. If you ask ChatGPT for fake movie titles, you'll be there all day.
I don't believe in that.
Mm.
And so I did it myself. I have a few more. After Sex with Mila Kunis and Zoe Saldana.
Fake, I hope.
Fake.
Real. It's
oh my
real.
God.
Halfway There with Mira Sorvino and Ethan Hawke.
That feels real.
real?
Fake. Made it up.
I think we're learning that you're good at this.
Right. Yeah, seriously. Because it's like these actors that very well could be in some shit that we've never even heard of. Like Mira Sorvino?
Mira Sorvino totally has a lot of movies that none of us have ever heard of.
Right.
Poor girl.
I know.
She's so great. And I have two more. All right. 360 with Jude Law and Anthony Hopkins.
Anthony Hopkins. Jude Law. Yes, that's real.
It is real. And Las Vegas, New Mexico with Casey Affleck and Paul Dano.
What was it? Las Vegas?
Las Vegas, this, New Mexico.
That one's real, right?
It feels real.
It's fake. I made it up.
There was another one. Did you base that off of a real one?
I think that in my brain, yes. I believe.
There's something with like Ethan Embry from like the 90s, and it's got one of those like Las Vegas something or something.
Paris, Texas?
Yes, that's it.
Paris, Texas.
I haven't seen that, but it's supposed to be very good. Thank you.
Very, very great job.
Great
Robin.
Game.
Yeah, I had fun with that.
So now that that's done, I don't know what the hell else to. No, it's. I tried to find, like, are there even people with feelings about this? And the only, like, I think there's. If you were, like, smack in the right generation, like, if you were of getting dropped off at the movie theater.
Right.
But not really making a choice age when that movie came out that year. There's a few people that are like, this was underrated. And there's a lot of like Kristen Stewart super fans who, you know, are on it for that. But other than that,
because she'd be the only like person that would be that would have a super fan to watch this movie, because like Dylan McDermott, you know, bless his heart, but nobody's out there capping for him.
Also, what was happening with him at this time? Because I think he is a good looking man.
And he is.
Something was awry here.
Maybe he had gotten it. Maybe this was like a middle part, because I think there was a time where he was the dude, and then a time like we weren't really like paying attention to him.
This is that.
And then he comes back in American Horror Story.
And then he's hot again.
Right, yeah.
Is he hot again?
I think so.
Okay, I don't watch American Horror Story. I hope he's hot again.
Well, that season was, God, when that's like season one.
Yeah, but so he comes back in like another season.
12 years ago? That's a while ago now.
Yeah, but he's also like sprinkled in. He pops up a lot.
Yeah,
as to where I'm always.
That's how that show works.
As to where I'm always.
It's like once you're
but not
in,
even
you're
just
in.
That. But yeah, but not even just that. Like in other things, that's to the point where I'm always doing the Dylan McDermott, Dermot Mulroney thing in my head now.
Hello and welcome to America's most difficult game show. We show contestants a picture and they have to tell us who it is. That's right. It's time for
Dylan McDermott.
So fucking funny.
I was looking at the other Kristen Stewart early performances, and there's a Dermot Mulroney one. It's like, I wonder if she was confused.
I don't understand her.
I really like her when she's good.
When is that?
The last 5 to 7 years.
So there's two modes of her being good, okay? One is that she's just having fun. And her Charlie's Angels movie,
Charlie's
I think,
Angels.
Is probably the best example of she is having the fucking time of her life.
Okay.
The Spooky Shit Is Happening Deep Underwater movie that she did.
Mm-hmm.
Another example of, what is that movie called? I want to say The Deep, and that's not right.
I wanted to say Tremors. It's definitely not Tremors, but it has a similarly generic title.
She's just like, I'm going to play Ripley. Fun. Mm. And like, she has fun with it.
Yeah.
And like, so she's good in those modes. I think that she has also been very well cast/directed in things like Spencer, which she got an Oscar nomination for, where she played Princess Di. And the movie that I love so much, or at least the portion of the movie that Certain Women, which I saw for the first time earlier this year with Lily Gladstone, who we're going to be talking about more later this episode, because it's an anthology story, and her portion of it, Lily Gladstone's portion of it, which is so, so good, is with Kristen Stewart. Mm. And she, her inherent awkwardness as a person, in contrast with her incredible beauty and poise, right?
Oh, Lily or Kristen?
I meant Kristen in this case, right? Kristen Stewart is someone who, like, your face is lovely, right? You're a very handsome woman, right? And you seem elegant, and yet you also seem like a baby deer who just started walking,
right? Yeah.
I feel like there are directors out there who know how to wield that as a weapon,
right?
And have done so successfully. So I do think that Kristen Stewart is... Oh, she's also great in Crimes of the Future, which we were just talking about. Like... She can be really, really good. And then there are all the other times that she's like this.
Yeah, I guess
and it's
I just...
like, what is going on in there?
I've seen enough of this that I don't want to risk watching the other. So the only thing I have seen her in that I really enjoyed her was Panic Room.
Oh, yeah.
Before she...
Very early on.
Yeah, very early.
That was probably her first thing, right?
Maybe.
She was already, like, trying. Like, okay. Like there are a few uncredited Girl at Fair, before yeah. that. Okay. Watch Lizzie, where Chloe Sevigny plays Lizzie Borden and Kristen Stewart is her secret lesbian lover that made all the shit go down. It's kind of a revisionist take.
How many of those are there?
Yeah. I think that's the other missing ingredient is that Kristen Stewart is always having a better time when she gets to be gay.
Yeah.
Or be at least gay adjacent. Like
is
in
she,
certain
is she
women,
bi or is she,
she's yeah. married to a woman.
Oh,
I didn't even know
she was married.
Or she's engaged. I don't know what her chosen label is.
Right, happiest right. season, gay Pittsburgh filmed rom-com. Yeah.
I keep forgetting she's in there.
Yeah.
It's great.
I still haven't seen that.
I like her because, you know, around the same time, we had our Twilights and we had our Harry Potterses and we had our Hunger Gameses. And like, there are all these kids running around. Right. Like, which one of these packs of young actors are going to turn into, you know, people who stars beyond this thing? And I didn't have money on her because
no one did.
She was good in Adventureland, I thought, but especially in Twilight, she was just. I mean, that's because there's no substance to that character.
Right.
That was the movies.
And to see her go weird and do stuff. I loved Spencer. I thought she probably should. Who won?
Really? She did a good job as Princess Diana.
It was great. Yeah. It's a great weird movie.
Like unironically. She was
It's probably different than you're imagining because it's just her hanging out with her family at this rural castle.
Okay.
Like it's not like a biopic, right? It's like a weekend in the life.
Mm, okay.
And
it's very similar to The Shining.
Okay. Yes.
We're stuck in this big old place and I'm losing my shit.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, and it's just really well done. Like they play up, this is an awkward lady.
Mm.
This is an awkward lady who the whole world is in love with and they need to control her and she's just a fucking weirdo. And so like, and they show her being like, my favorite scene in that movie is her being super fucking weird with her kids at the dinner table and like playing, they're basically improvising with each other.
Oh.
And it's like, it's just nice to see her happy, having a good time, both Kristen Stewart and Princess Diana.
Yeah.
Right?
So it's not like we got to see any of that where Diana was concerned.
Right.
Who did she lose to?
Jessica Chastain in The Eyes of Tammy Faye.
Yeah, she should have won.
That was...
I mean, with no...
I would have voted for Olivia Colman, even though she had just won an Oscar. I just loved The Lost Daughter so much.
Jessica Chastain's great, and that movie is fine. And like, I'm happy that Jessica Chastain has her Oscar.
Me too.
But
That's how I feel about that. And I like that Michael Showalter directed someone to an Oscar also.
Yeah.
So I am fully at peace with Jessica Chastain having an Oscar.
We can't talk this much before the segments. There's so little to say.
I mean, like, can't we though? What are we going to say about this movie?
Because you've never heard of The Messengers and have no reason to know what happens.
Even the streaming services are like, hey, are you sure this is what they give you? Like five. Every time you put it in a search engine, it's like six other options come up.
You notice none of the descriptions get past the setup. All the descriptions are like, a family moves to a sunflower farm and secrets are revealed. It's like, even your copy guy made it 10 minutes and then was like, whatever.
I see sunflowers, so I'm going with it.
Yeah. So
and they must play a huge part of this.
Here's Camila to riff what happens in this movie. Go.
A family moves into a sunflower farm. They move into the most rickety, disgusting house I've ever seen in my life. Let's see. I guess there's some problems. They're moving away to start a new life. Everyone's really weird with Kristen Stewart. She's all weird with everybody else. Weird things start to happen in the house. Only to Kirsten, and the parents are like, yeah, right. And she's like, please believe me. And she ends up attacked by a ghost. She gets into the hospital, and they're like, why did you try to hurt yourself? And she's like, I didn't do this. And they don't believe her. Then finally, like, they hire John Corbett for some reason, and turns out he was the weirdo who killed his family in the house some odd years ago, and then he's gone off and trying to kill them again, and they believe him, and now everyone's happy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
We open with a flashback of a family getting annihilated.
But I called it, like, when I was watching, I was like, this is obviously like a domestic violence situation.
It's just so obviously that. Right. Like, it just really very clearly seems to be that situation.
Right, especially because the mom is like packing a bag.
Right.
Like, you don't pack a bag when there's a ghost situation. Right.
Too bad we can't stay, baby.
Right. Stay out there, ghost, until I get my shit in the...
Tatiana Maslany.
Yeah. Brief appearance in the early part of the film.
Whose husband did Summer Stock with Abby Feuder.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
Oh, cute. Arcade Comedy Theater co-founder Abby Feuder, mm-hmm. for those not in our inner circle.
Yes.
Full spoilers for The Messengers, because you're never going to watch this. But like...
Please don't also. No, like, just to be clear, this movie is just bad.
It is.
It's not... It's so, like, uncaptivating that I didn't notice until I was, like, reading the IMDb trivia and everything how little of, like, the core of this makes sense.
Yeah.
Because...
Why would he go back there?
So, yeah.
That's my main... That's, like, I was like, did I miss something?
It seems like he forgot.
It does seem like he forgot. Because did he forget?
I think he forgot, and then the crows pecking him or the wind blowing in the thing.
Yeah,
like,
that's what jogged his memory.
Like, he sees Kristen's mom getting a suitcase, and that, like, gives him a flashback.
Yeah.
But it seems like has amnesia about murdering his family.
Right. I was thinking that we were going to get into, like, an Amityville situation.
So that is what I assumed was going on because, basically, of the premise.
Right.
And then... Like you said, like when you watch the clips of like the little flashback moments, it's like, okay, well, this doesn't really seem like ghosts.
Right.
But I'll roll with it. I'm running with it, right?
Sure.
Yeah. So I just assumed that there was something evil in the house. But no, just John Corbett is evil, and his evil is so evil it's left ghostly remnants. Is that my understanding?
That's all the thing I could...
No, the family's ghosts. There's a ghost family.
She-Hulk is one of the ghosts.
So ghosts were there, but they had no bearing on his...
No. He killed his family, and now the ghosts of his family are there.
That didn't seem like...
Maybe?
I saw the ghosts of his family,
right.
But I felt like there were other ghosts there, too.
Can we talk about how this movie depicts ghosts, by the way? Because it is a human being painted gray. There's no kind of lens effect. There's no flickering. There is no special effect beyond gray paint.
Oh, also, well,
sunken
like
eyes a little bit.
The weird.
They move all.
Editing. Yeah.
They move all jerky. That was big in the late aughts.
They do
trying to do the ring situation here, and I think that made it less spooky.
I just thought it so often just looked like it was like, and there's a person painted gray, right? Like,
what are you doing in my house painted gray?
Right, exactly. And also,
are you in an old black and white talkie?
We were really worried about black mold, guys.
Denise, that's just black mold. Stop scrubbing it. Cut
she
the thing out.
That whole goddamn movie bleaching that ghost wall.
Like once, all right, I'll give it to you. But the second time,
once you've bleached it, it's come back. You got to replace the drywall.
Right. Yes, then you've got problems.
Yes,
beyond this, it's oh god.
This
okay. Also, the trailer.
There is evidence to suggest that children are highly susceptible to paranormal phenomena. They see what adults cannot.
That is poor.
They believe. What adults deny.
Come on, get you to bed.
And they are trying.
Daddy loves you.
To warn us.
It's so quiet out here.
Just give it some time, Jess. Take some getting used to.
I saw something today. It's easy to understand getting scared out here. Mom?
As of now, we're going to classify this as a false alarm.
Is there any reason that would make her want to hurt or draw attention to herself?
Mom, please believe me. I'm not making this up.
Just please. Just stop. Did you know the family that used to live in my house?
They just up and left about 5-6 years ago.
I don't think the family is just up and left. I've seen them.
Dad, I'm really scared. Can we just go home?
Jessica, this is home.
What do you see? What does it look like?
Hey, Benny.
Old MacDonald had
Deceptive.
Is this at all part of the thing, the voiceover business where it's like children detect the supernatural?
Well, the little kid character is clearly present. The window into where the ghosts are standing for act two.
But it's very deceptive. It makes you think that that's going to play a bigger part than it does.
And I don't think it plays a part really at all. Like, they don't talk about that in the film, do they?
Sort of like with Kirsten, she's with him alone. She's like, what do you see? And there's that scene where he's pointing at stuff. I don't know. It's just, it's a fucking mosh posh.
And that
nonsense.
Child is upsetting. That is an upsetting child.
Even just the fact of, like, my whole thing was like, okay, great. Another one of those, hey, only kids can see ghosts movies. It's like, please don't. Like, stop. I have enough of that going on in my brain now.
But yeah, ask the parent in the room.
Right, yeah. It's like, I had enough problems when my dogs would stare in a corner long enough. It's like, you don't tell me you have the sight. But you got facts on this thing.
A few. I can at least tell you what the movie is, which is so much more than anyone else has ever tried to do.
Everybody, once they wrapped, everybody was just done with it. They're just like fuck no, it.
Do you want to go to the premiere? No, let's just find another job. This came out February 2nd of 2007, the fourth number one movie of that year. To answer the big question, there was nothing going on in that year's box office dumping ground of January and early February, even more than usual. Stomp the Yard had won two weekends. Epic Movie had just managed to win a weekend. The Messengers was a one-week winner before being thoroughly dethroned by Norbit. So there's nothing going on.
Wow.
There were at least like okay hits coming. Ghost Rider came out not long after that. 300 came out not long after that. The first 6 weeks of 2007 were just totally dead. Allowing for a sneaky Messengers win with $14.7 million. Even then, it only barely won. This sounds like one from Robin's Game. Because I Said So, with Diane Keaton and Mandy Moore, debuted in second with $13.1 million. So just barely made it. Only 3 weeks in the top 10, made about $35 million. 76th place overall for that year. So just on the calendar alone is on our list. There is a prequel, because any old shit could get a green light at this point.
A prequel. So like about the domestic violence?
No, before that.
Oh boy.
There were a few times like this was the Anderson's farm or like whatever that name was. It's about that family. And there's a spooky scarecrow involved.
Okay.
Messengers 2, The Scarecrow, went with Norman Reedus, went direct to video.
Oh, Norman.
In 2009. So who are these people and what are they doing here? The Pang brothers are a directing team from Hong Kong. They are best known for the horror trilogy The Eye. People who are into horror would pass those DVDs around this time.
I've heard of it.
The Thai action flick.
Didn't they make an American The Eye?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know if they were involved, but there is an...
Not necessarily these
I think
two
it's
guys.
Jessica Alba?
That sounds right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Yeah. That was a remake of their thing. Bangkok Dangerous is theirs. They did the remake, the U.S. version of Bangkok Dangerous as well with Nicolas Cage.
Isn't that supposed to be actually good?
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
No,
I've heard people be like, obviously the original has people who love it, but like the one with Nicolas Cage, they're like, it shouldn't be good, and yet it is.
They're pretty well regarded otherwise. One of them was the editor on Infernal Affairs, which was remade into The Departed. Only The Messengers and the Bangkok Dangerous remake are movies they made in America.
Okay.
So obviously that did not quite
They're from Hong Kong.
Okay. Yeah. There was an original story by this kind of marginal, horror creator named Todd Farmer. He wrote Jason X. He wrote the My Bloody Valentine remake.
Okay.
He wrote Drive Angry, an action movie around that time.
Drive Angry 3D, also with Nicolas Cage.
I didn't remember that it was 3D. Mm. Is there a pop star in that?
No, Amber Heard is the woman in it.
I'm confusing. One of the first ever You Can't Handle the Truth episodes was some movie like that may or may not have been Drive Angry. This guy, Todd Farmer, had an original story that was allegedly pretty interesting. It was more of an isolation psychological thriller thing. Then the studio turned it through like 5 rewrites. Like 10 people took a crack at this. Farmer said his pitch was for, quote, the horror version of A Beautiful Mind, but the studio studio wanted, quote, The Shining on a farm. So that's how that, we got here.
Yes. Okay. But what would a horror version of A Beautiful Mind be?
I don't know. Okay. I was with him until I saw that quote. Then I'm like,
what does that mean?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
It got churned through a lot. Obviously got cut down. For without any other clue, the fact that we introduce the smoking man from the X-Files and never really resolve what he's doing there or what.
Desperately trying to get them to move away again.
Did he foreclose on the farm previously and he somehow knows that guy's gonna come back and go crazy, so he's trying to save them, but he sold them the farm too?
So because he's a cigarette smoking man, I always think he's up to no good. And so I thought what was going on there was that he like flips a haunted house for profit. Right?
He's yeah, like,
he sells this house to people, they get terrorized by the ghosts, and then he sells it again. And then maybe he was like, oh, but maybe your cute little kid's going to die, so I'm gonna spare you the death this time. I don't know. That's what I thought was going on with him.
But we never find out.
No.
And I was also like confused as to how he was able to move with such agility and silence.
He kept appearing. So like, was he a ghost? Because they set up this runner where he's always sneaking up on Dylan McDermott.
Right, but he had and a that car doesn't go down there. Like, the third time he shows up, he's like, there's a car right now. I was like, how did you not hear this man drive up and walk up?
Right? In the middle of nowhere, where you hear every car for 3 miles, because there's nothing else.
But the wind in the sunflowers.
I do think, like you said, you know, oh, it's so funny to have this, like, spooky, that we found the sunniest field in America.
Right.
And I do think that there is something to that. Like, I can see how, like, I can imagine myself as a movie executive being told, we're going to do a creepy house movie, but it's going to be sun. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, hasn't been done. Let's see it. Yeah. Right. But then every time they go inside, it's like not sunny anymore. Like, they really don't. It's a very generic haunted house.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess these are facts. This seems early for Kristen Stewart, but it's actually not that early. Panic Room was 2002. Mm-hmm. So she was 5 years in. She did Cold Creek Manor in 2000, which is a very similar setting. In 2003, Fierce People in 2005, Jon Favreau's Zathura, a space adventure, notorious big budget bomb, also in 2005, plus some indies in between. So she was, this is pre-Twilight, but she was already kind of around.
She'd been working.
Finally, those are ravens. Those are not crows.
Okay.
I want to specify, there are big crows. They're not that big. Those were like the size of mid-sized dogs.
They are pretty big.
Those are ravens.
Crows are scary too, though.
Crows are scary, but like
corvids.
Just more than three birds at a time are scary.
Like eight crows aren't going to maybe kill you. Like eight ravens have a shot.
We have the, you know, I don't know if this affects, like, I don't know if this goes as far as where you live, Sean, but like South Oakland at this time of year, around 5 p.m. every day, a huge cloud of corvids moves through.
Yeah, we see them sometimes.
Yes, so they love our parking lot. And so when I get home at, like, this was a really big problem for one of my jobs. I always got home, like, right at corvid time.
right at the time of their meeting?
Yes, and it truly was like, will I survive the walk from my car to my house? Yes, is the answer. I'm still here to tell the tale.
So those are the segments.
It's like,
there's nothing else to say about the movie. Give it a 43. So let's go
to
the bingo card.
43?
No. We can talk more, I guess.
Can we?
It's just a series of gripes at this point. I mean, just the fact, it's almost like one of those improv games where someone's like, give me three things and a place and a person.
And they were like, sunflowers, crows,
right,
ghosts.
Mysterious man. And none of the shit ties together whatsoever.
John, like, Corbett needs a haircut.
And do we believe in John Corbett in anything other than a comedic role?
You know what? I just wanted to watch Northern Exposure, which is not streaming anywhere, which upset me.
Hold on to your physical media. Don't listen to Best Buy. The streaming services are not giving you everything.
They're not trustworthy.
Here are some things I liked. No. Here are
positive points.
Some factors that mitigated my feelings slightly. I like that the Kristen Stewart character is not a little shit.
She is not.
She's kind of trying to engage, and that's much more interesting than the like surly teen going, I hate it out here. Like, right. She's trying. That made me a little bit more invested. The twist with John Corbett, like, at least it's a twist. Like, so many of these movies just go to, and then they find the ghosts, and they find the magic thing that makes the ghosts go away. Like, there at least was a layer of, and we built to something.
Yeah.
It's nice to just see an angry ghost. You don't get too many just like, oh, there's, I guess we did a lot of the time. I guess that was The Ring and The Grudge and The Eye. And
yeah.
The one shot that's in the trailer of them making the bed.
With
that,
the feet.
Yeah. That was genuinely scary.
There's a couple good, these guys know how to direct. There's a couple of good shots. It looks different for the reason that you said. It doesn't look like a lot of other things. I have less like gripes as I just do like, why aren't you more of a thing?
I just needed a lot more there. The only part of the movie where I was vaguely interested at all was when we found out that she had a car accident when she was drunk and her brother was in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, this recontextualizes everything that in the way they've been dismissing her constantly.
Yeah.
And then they like share that information and then act normal to her for the rest of the movie. It was like, so wait, what is this backstory for?
Right. And it was also like, I was still confused because he's going off on her talking about, you know, how he like 20 years of whatever savings gone in 2 years. They spent all the money on the brother getting in the hospital. But she's like 6 months ago is when this happened.
Oh, I missed that.
When she tells her little friend that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, the math ain't mathin'. Like, what's happened? What happened fucking like the 18 months or prior to that? Like, why?
He made a lot of bad bets. That's what he did.
Dad, a gambler?
And then we had to put our kid in the hospital for a week. I did want to share that yesterday in the Washington Post, there was an article about jump scares. And it was about like the decline of the jump scare. And this was in the top 10 of all time movies with the most jump scares.
Really?
Yes. Which surprised me because I wouldn't have guessed that. But then if you read the article deeper, they talk a lot about grades of jump scare, like intense jump scare versus minor jump scare. And this is minor jump scares.
Okay.
Which is things like
the feet under the bed.
Under the bed or the wall moves a little bit, right? Like that kind of stuff does happen somewhat constantly in this movie. But yes, this is seventh on the all-time list of jump scare movies.
Really?
Yes, with 27 jump scares.
I mean,
I feel like it says it's overdone. That kind of proves the point.
Yes, there's a reason that the jump scare is going out of style.
Yeah, it's certainly not... this is a horror movie that you could put on for a daycare. I mean, like, there's jump scare. I guess there's a couple moments.
I don't remember. Like, honestly, I remember the foot thing. And, I think the most tense that I was feeling was when she's standing in the hall with the little boy and the thing or the ghost is, like, close to them and she turns around and nothing happens. But, like, they did a good job of, like, building tension in that scene, in that moment. But it's just, bleh. Like, this whole thing, like, you keep, I spent the whole time just like, okay, this is,
it's
like,
just, it's,
okay, we're good, okay, no, just that. It's kind of like Blue Balls, I guess, the equivalent of horror Blue Balls.
Because it's not, there are plenty of movies and horror movies that are so boring that you're just checked out early on. This isn't that. You're right. It keeps, like, leading you along, like, we got something coming.
Something might happen. You know. Right. It never really does.
Yeah, I dozed off at one point, and I was still in, like, and I woke up right when she was finishing the story about what happened. Oh. Like, and I was like, no! I had
to rewind. It's actual information.
Right?
Shout out to poor Bobby. Just thought maybe he was going to get to touch his first boob.
Also,
and instead, this unprosecuted criminal punches him right in the head as soon as he walked in the door.
Style icon, though, because seriously, that haircut is like the hair for teenage boys right now, 15 years later, right? So, style icon.
Speaking of like the lessening of jump scares, I watched the first episode of The Fall of the House of Usher on Netflix.
Colin watched that and is obsessed with it.
I just watched the first episode, but there is a moment, there's two guys are talking, and the guy's telling a story about how his mother died, and then he's like, And then the dude is like, that he's telling the story to, he's like, why are you telling me this story? He's like, because she's here with us right now. Mm-hmm. And the guy like goes into this explanation, well, you know, I'm not going to turn around, yada, yada, yada. And they go to a shot and it's really dark behind him. And you, there's a slight figure there. And you're like, you spend the audience is spending this time just like, is that her? Like, what is it? And then he's like, I'm not going to turn around. And then he's like, okay, fine. And then the figure, like, and then you see the figure turn around and walk away. And it's like, oh my God, that was so effective.
Yeah.
So it's like, we're doing more creative ways of jump scaring,
yes,
so to speak, more just kind of like a whisper scare, I guess. A nudge scare.
What we really needed to do was write even a little bit more movie in between Drifter with a shotgun wanders onto the property and you can live here if you want. Yeah. Because yes, that was in the same conversation.
Well, okay. I do think that some of that is we bought a farm. This guy seems to know what a farm is.
Well, sure. But no, like, have you worked on a farm before?
He
are
looks
you
like
from here?
Somebody who's worked on a farm.
Do you know anything about sunflowers? Like,
can you,
literally,
can you fill out this criminal background report?
You can like, live you know, in the servants.
He literally bites the sunflower and is like 2 days away.
And Dylan McDermott thinks this must be what all rural people can do. Anyone from this Dakota can bite a sunflower seed and know.
2 days left.
Really? I mean, I can't go very low.
I mean, there isn't a lot that is wrong. Like, it's
yeah,
just not.
Yeah, that's what I'm.
There's nothing good.
No, it's just like, I don't know. It's a waste of time.
Anyway, I'm going 30, and that feels incredibly generous.
It is. It's very generous.
No, 43 is my number. I don't find it hateable.
Yes.
I think they're trying.
Also, it's nice and short.
It is short. I think the directors are trying. I think the script went through the shredder, and they couldn't figure it out, and this is what we got. 43.
I'm a little mad at this movie. 17.
All right.
I think mostly like John Corbett's reveal, like the way that he executed that is like, you're not doing it right.
That's a 30. Nice, even 30.
You want me to hand this to you?
Yeah.
Sorry, I just forgot about the artifice of radio.
I tried to continue podcasting while saying, Robin, could you please hand me that backpack?
And
she's
said,
like, what
no.
do you say?
Use your word, Sean.
We can leave that in or not. I'll give us both opportunities. That's a 30. Nice, even 30, which feels like that really feels right. Like, we are not going to put you at the bottom of our list because you did so little that you didn't even earn hate.
Right.
Just a 30.
Basement.
Oh, all over the basement. Can't get out of the basement. There is a lot of like, Kristen, maybe just stop poking around. Like, people are just like, Bobby's like, oh, I never went in the basement of the creepy old house. She goes right there.
She's like, why didn't you go in the basement? I'm going to go in the basement and figure out what's happening in the basement. Nobody goes to the library?
No.
I thought she was about to. She meets up with him. And then they go to the general store.
The general store.
Where there's a helpful photograph tacked on the wall.
Like, why aren't you at the library? Like, public records somewhere.
That was literally, they had a whole scene written in the library public records and then they couldn't find a good location and they were like, just put it on the bulletin board.
Right, yeah. The library fell through, guys. We're gonna have to just
bulletin board.
That's all I got.
That's all there is. But that's something.
Ugh. So cross off if you're playing along at home, which you can't do because we've never shared the bingo card. Basement crossed off. We will get there, but we are not saved, just so you know, going into it. This is no vetoes. No
yes.
help, no control, the pure chaos draw.
Actually, a Friday night, one of our listeners, Devin, I believe is his name, thanked me for vetoing Hotel Transylvania.
Thank you. Thank you for your thanks. And thank you, Camila. I really enjoyed, as much as this movie wasn't good, this was better.
Much better than having watched Hotel Transylvania.
And now we know it exists.
Exactly. So that'll come helpful in some trivia later at
some
point. So, pub trivia.
When I was just, I was just typing Kristen Stewart messengers like into Twitter and stuff. Just like, does anyone have a take?
Is there any letterbox lists or anything?
I do. Oh yeah, it does come up. I selected this week's letterbox list is Birth Control, starting a list of films that feature children and teens who are terrifying, rebellious, or creepy.
Oh.
The Babadook, Children of the Damned, Children of the Corn.
This kid, it's not his fault.
Right.
He's just off.
He had some problems. He had a little early childhood trauma.
That's right. He was in a car accident because of his drunk teenage sister. Right.
But I found one Twitter account that was, because there's a lot of, like, uncomfortably devoted Kristen Stewart accounts that's, like, ranking the best Kristen Stewart performances, top 25, and it's, like, 24, The Messengers. It's, like, so she has maybe 26, 27 performances top. So, you can handle the truth. I'm going to assume that only I had the 3.5 hours.
I saw it.
Oh, did you?
I made time for it yesterday for this reason.
Wow. You go first.
I loved it.
Okay.
I didn't read your review yet. I don't have no idea. What's your take?
I like it.
Okay.
I like it. I like it. 8 out of 10. Good movie.
I think I did 4.5 on Letterboxd, but I think I'm bumping it up to 5. I mean, I have to sit with it for more than 24 hours.
Yeah. That's only you've only watched it.
And Camille, I'm assuming you did not watch Killers of the Flower Moon. Just want to make sure we're not.
No.
Just want to be sure.
It'll be a minute. Yeah.
And then it'll be a lot more minutes.
Here's the thing. I didn't think it was too long.
Really?
Like, I think it could have been 20 minutes shorter. And yeah, I would take those 20 minutes of my life back. But I think it is an appropriate epic. Like, this movie, I was saying to friend of the pod Lauren yesterday, it felt correct that when I left the movie theater, the light outside had changed and I needed another meal.
Yeah, right.
Right. It was right. Like, you need, this is a movie that deserves that amount of your day. And so I'm gonna say that the obvious thing that I would dislike about this movie is how fucking long it is, and it being that fucking long worked for me. I also think I was particularly well primed to like this movie because I just rewatched the Godfather trilogy.
Mm.
And upon this rewatch of the Godfather, my overarching reaction was Michael sucks.
Mm.
Michael is he's an idiot and a jerk. And so this is a movie that presupposes, mm-hmm. right? It's like, I said to Colin yesterday, I'm like, this movie is basically what if Fredo's wife were the most interesting character in The Godfather. And like, I love that there is just never any question of Leonardo DiCaprio's character is an empty-headed piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, we are all on the same page. This guy sucks. And so it's so powerful mm-hmm. that like, this guy who sucks, and then De Niro, I think, is great. And
yeah, I mean, it's his. It's easy to say because he's not given a shit for a long time, yeah. But it's his best performance in decades because it's certainly not The Irishman. And
I thought he was fantastic in The Irishman.
Fine in The Irishman.
I thought he was great in The Irishman. I think he's great in this. I think it's a really well done character because that character isn't an idiot, but he also kind of is, right?
Yeah.
Like, and if it were about him, like if he, like that would have been a much worse movie,
mm-hmm.
right? I think it was just very, very smart to center this movie on the stupidest person in it because the story becomes all the more profoundly and powerfully frustrating mm-hmm. given how much this guy sucks. And the ending, I think, was great. I loved it.
That's interesting because here's why it's not a 10. And I do feel like you have to start it. Here's why it's not a 10, because it is a remarkable achievement of filmmaking that mm-hmm. has all of these incredible scenes. It looks fantastic. It sounds fantastic. Every performance is wonderful. So I take a point off for general indulgence, and I actually don't mean the running time. More mean that I feel like every idea that everybody ever had made it to the movie.
Oh my God, it's in the movie. I love it. Next.
There are little bits of this that it's like, I don't think that needed to exist. It really feels like could we have a scene with this? The answer was always yes.
I love it so much that it's not only in the movie, but it's definitely in the movie. Mm.
It feels like an unedited project to me.
That's fair. There were parts of the courtroom drama.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why I started at 4.5. I might go to 5. It's like I had to stifle a laugh on Brendan Fraser's first line.
Oh, Brendan Fraser's in it.
Yes. He is in it.
He is good, but he makes a strong Southern accent choice that takes a moment. the other point I took away, I think the ending is awful.
Here's why I love the ending, Sean. And I'm going to not spoil this But if you want to not be, if you want to go fresh, just fast forward, buddies. Okay, it's Martin Scorsese saying, I know I'm not the right person to make this movie. I know that I can't actually fix anything by making this movie.
Maybe.
That's what, like, the whole point of this movie is there's no justice, right?
Yeah.
And he's saying, even artistically, these people can't have justice because I'm the person who told their story.
Lots of ways to do that without literally centering yourself in the last moment.
Well, first of all, he didn't. Then he shows us actual Osage people, not the last moment.
Yeah.
And
the penultimate moment.
Yes.
I mean, I go so far as this is, if this counts as a spoiler, you're too persnickety. After the climax of the story, we cut to like...
Remember when I was like, I am not going to spoil it. Are we just having a conversation with Camila?
No. This isn't a spoiler. No, it isn't. The way the ending of a movie is structured...
I edit this show and I'm cutting
it. Do whatever you want.
I am glad I got to experience that moment.
Okay.
Yes.
We'll talk more off mic. Suffice to say, there are a variety of opinions on the ending of this movie.
The ending is a big swing, and I can imagine people going, come on, buddy.
Yeah.
And I went, okay.
Yeah.
Like, my first reaction was definitely, what? But then around two-thirds of the way through, I was like, oh, I get it. Mm. And then later I was like, yeah, no, that was exactly the right way to do this. Mm. That was so good. I loved it.
Did you have the introduction from him?
Yes.
See, that made me not buy your interpretation of it.
Okay.
Because in certain screenings, he comes on screen before the movie starts and it's like, thank you for being in the theater. This is a very important story to me. And I'm like, I don't care how important it is to you.
Right.
I feel there's indulgence. Indulgence yeah. is still the word.
I mean, like, the point, this movie is not about Osage people, right? It is mm-hmm. about white people fucking up,
yeah.
right? And if this movie's made 20 years ago,
oh yeah,
they wouldn't have even spent as much time as they did with the Osage characters, right?
Who would be played by Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, I mean, just to be clear, Hawkeye is a white man.
Hawkeye
in The Last of the Mohicans is like in the book.
Never seen it.
Okay. Yeah. They didn't cast Daniel Day-Lewis as a Mohican.
I will unequivocally agree with you. Go see the movie.
Yeah. Like, well, also, I'm actually going to say this is a movie you can watch on your couch and take breaks. It's 4 hours long.
Ooh. Let's not keep talking about the same movie and okay. mostly agreeing, but semantically, like, I don't know. So the cinematography is very grand.
I loved it. I loved seeing it in the theater. Also, yeah. It was fun because I saw it on a Monday afternoon with a bunch of other old men seeing it by themselves, and it was like...
You said other old men seeing it by yourself?
You know that when I go to a Martin Scorsese movie on a Monday afternoon, I am an old man. And it was like, who's going to have to pee first?
Yeah.
It was me.
I think I saw two people leave just because they hadn't checked the runtime. Like we were at about 2 hours and 15 minutes, and I saw two people just like gather their stuff and go. It's like, I don't think they were having a bad time. I think they just have shit to do later and didn't check.
I also wanted to say I love Lily Gladstone.
Give her the Oscar. I don't care who else does what between now and...
Her face is the Mona Lisa.
Mm. Yeah.
And the other thing I don't understand about this movie is why are there so many 40-something white male musicians in it? Pete Yorn's in it. Jack White's in it. Some guy from a country band
Sturgill
is in
Simpson's
it.
Sturgill Simpson's in it.
That
yeah.
guy.
Yeah.
The guy who played the weird repeat brother-in-law is in a country band, too.
Yeah.
It's, what's going on?
That's random.
When Pete Yorn showed up, I was like, that guy looks like Pete Yorn. It never occurred to me that it could actually be Pete Yorn. And like, then his name weird. Was in the credits, and I was like, what?
Marty just left like a lot of guitars lying around in craft services and hoped that like maybe if I invite all the musicians I like, I'll get a free show.
I wonder if they have a group chat and like one of them signed on and then was like, hey guys,
I want to do it.
Hey, you want to go hang out with me in Oklahoma for a while?
Gentle recommendation to When Evil Lurks. I say gentle because it is one of the most extreme horror movies I have seen in quite some time.
What makes it extreme?
Violence and the specific violence, the violence, it's very violent. A lot of that violent is at children or involving children or at least near. A lot of it is involving children. It's only for serious hardcore horror people, but it's nice because it's like a demon possession movie, but it's brutal. And I'm like, yeah, why aren't others? Why are most times when someone gets possessed in a movie, they just click and swear? Like, why don't literal demons do worse things? And this is the movie where they do. It's pretty good. And none of the rest of The Phantom of the Opera from 1925 is very, very good.
Cool.
You have anything else?
I don't think so.
Sorry about all that, Camila.
No, it's fine. I didn't really see anything new. I watched the first three Friday the 13th movies, which...
I watched the first two.
Did you?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, they're all on Max.
Kids are idiots.
Yeah, they are.
All these campers, I'm like, guys...
I've never seen so many, like, I don't know, it's just me, but I've never seen so many girls just, like, walk around without pants on for so... For just no damn good reason. Like,
that's the style at the time.
That's not my ministry, but I guess, you know, if you're out in the woods somewhere, what? But,
it feels the least appropriate in the woods.
Right.
It's cool at night. There are bugs. You're getting, like, there are branches probably scratching you.
Like, it just makes zero sense to me. And
just grab some joggers.
But, like, it's been eons since I'd seen the first one.
Yeah,
it's good. First one.
It holds up still.
I'm not 100%. I didn't log into my Letterboxd because I felt like I definitely had seen it before, but I had no memory of any of it.
Right.
And so I enjoyed watching it.
Yeah, even the second one I thought was good. And then the third one went off the rails. It was 3D. And then it got to a point, Dan and I just started to play a game of, like, 3D! Like, whatever. You use. It's quite clear that was the moment for the 3D.
It was also the one red eye, one blue eye 3D. Like, I've watched it in 3D.
Okay.
Because you don't need a special TV.
Right.
They just sell it with the little glasses.
Yes, little paper glasses.
I've done that. It doesn't help much, but...
It's not a...
Keep telling you, 4 is the best one.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to get there.
You skip 3 and go to 4.
I'm not going to skip 3.
Well, no, that's the one. He gets his mask in 3.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
And that was the other thing with me, too. I was like, oh, so we spent a whole movie and he even have a mask.
We spent a whole movie. He's not even there until the very end.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. So, like, the first one, you know, he's not there till the end. And then, like, the second one, he's there and then he doesn't have the mask.
Right.
And then that was what made me push me on to the next one. Was like, I need to know, when does he get his mask? How does he get his mask?
I was really genuinely surprised he didn't have the mask. I just assumed that was from in the lore from the start. No.
Me too.
Takes a while. The kid that jumps out of the water at the end of the first one has a metal band called First Jason.
Good for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good for him. I watched Jennifer's Body, which I thought I had seen.
I like that movie.
I had no memory of it. Like, if I had seen it, it was all fresh and brand new. It was fine. There's a lot of people that go hard for that movie.
I think that what I get out of Gone Girl, so, like, the good for her watch Gone Girl, I think that some people have more of that in Jennifer's Body. Like, people root for Jennifer, right?
Yeah.
So I don't. Maybe I would enjoy it more if I did.
I don't know. It's not bad. And it's, you know, it's definitely fun. I just don't ever need to see it again.
Mary Beth's been trying to get me to, it's like, no, we have to watch Jennifer's Body this year.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet?
No.
I think you'll like it.
I think it's worth it. Mm-hmm. It's worth a watch, especially around this time, right about now.
Yeah.
The Devil on Trial. I watched.
What is that?
That is the documentary, and I think it's on Netflix, and it's about the family of the boy, the Elaine and what's his butt Warren, the psychics from The Conjuring and all that.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the real family that the third Conjuring is based upon, and so they're actually talking to the dude. All grossed up now, who said he was possessed as a child.
Oh, boy.
And they're talking to, like, his brothers and, like, family members and all that stuff about what happened and all that business.
Oh, boy.
And he still holds on to that. Yeah, I was possessed. And then, like, I love, like, it's amazing because we go through, like, fucking, it's like an hour long, maybe an hour and a half. And then we have, like, 40 minutes of them, like, showing all this horrible stuff. And, like, there's, like, pictures and audio from the time when he was possessed that he says as a child. And then we bring out the second brother, and he's like, bullshit.
Dun, dun, dun.
That sounds awesome.
So, yeah, it's definitely.
Okay.
It's amazing. And I watched Army of Darkness, which I had never seen before, and no thanks.
Wow. killing a sacred cow there. I mean, not really. Like, if you're a male horror fan between the ages of, I don't know, 30 and 45. You watched that at a sleepover, yeah. And it was the coolest shit you had ever seen, because right. It's Evil Dead stuff, but it's funny, and there's stop-motion skeletons.
Right.
And he's a dashing hero that still feels somehow nerdy, and so you can mm-hmm. attach yourself to him. Yeah. And but I haven't watched it in a long time. Maybe I should not.
It's also a movie for teenage boys. Yeah. And well, I was one
well,
at one point.
But it's definitely, like, also definitely a certain place, certain time. Like, oh, yeah. Even, you know, because I remember it being something that, like, a lot of the dudes that I hung out with in college, they watched, you know, these movies, Army of Darkness, Evil Dead, blah, blah, blah. And they would be on
yeah.
when I was in my presence, and we'd be high, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of times, like, had I sat and watched one, like, maybe it would hold a special mm-hmm. place in my heart, but, you know, I was too busy doing other stuff.
I also rewatched Screams 1 through 3. Because nice. You're wearing a Scream 2 shirt.
A very good Scream 2 t-shirt.
It's a great Scream 2 t-shirt. Scream 3 is so bad.
Stop it. It is bad, but I still... the killer... Damn it, what's his name? Scott Foley.
Yeah.
He holds a special place. Mm, spoilers! Like sorry.
Yeah.
What?
I haven't gone back in a long time.
I just watched 4 last night.
I still have... Colin and I were talking about this. He's like, I know we watched 4 together. And I'm like, we watched the beginning of 4 together and I lost interest. I've never seen that movie. And I've never seen 5. Do they have 6 now?
Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, maybe I'll watch the rest, but 3 really put us...
I blame Jenny McCarthy. Even though she's only got like 7 minutes of screen time.
But they're bad. They're 7 bad minutes. No, the main thing that really bothered me about Scream 3 is the voice changing.
Mm, yeah.
Right? It doesn't... There's no... It's too Nothing. Science fiction-y.
Nothing can do that.
And it, like, you can't do that now. Right? And like the fact that you can almost do it is like causing huge problems in the world.
Yeah.
So it was, it's just a cheesy thing that makes it less scary. I hated it. Anyway, I was mad. And Courtney Cox's bangs are a war crime.
Yes. I thought that it has one of the stronger opening kills, like mm-hmm. with Liev Schreiber. I think that setup.
No, I agree.
Was really good. Like the first one still gives me chills to this day, but.
Yeah. Well,
I liked that a lot at the time. Again, I was seven. When did that come out? 2001?
Maybe.
2000? So I was like 16. A core memory of like going on horror message boards on the internet in my excitement for Scream 3 and seeing a post titled, "It's Cotton and Gale This Time." And I thought that this was just someone being a dick and spoiling it. And so I walked in with my head hanging down, like, I already know. And so when Cotton dies 5 minutes in, I'm like, yes!
We're back! We're back! Yeah. I also do think it is very funny that Cotton's motive is to be famous. That like maybe. That's his yeah. and it works.
That's his end game. That's yep. all he wants.
And I respect.
He did very well for himself for like a good 3 years.
100%.
Somebody
Cotton.
Gave you a whole talk show.
Yeah.
And also, when we're talking about the voice thing, when he's in his face like this, like I don't think it's your voice. Like you've got the voice box right here.
Yes.
I don't think that. I mean, it doesn't matter. He's dying, but still, like. I don't think it works like that.
No.
But I mean, this isn't a Scream podcast, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Because I could sit here and talk about that shit for days. What's next?
Yeah, so we're out of spooky season, but we're into No Veto, No Man's Land.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's
so cold out here.
While I remember that, I will note that Mary Beth and I met Judith O'Day, the star of Night of the Living Dead. On Saturday. And she was lovely.
This is Barbara. Right?
Barbara.
Yeah, nice.
She was just great. No Veto, No Man's Land. Whatever this lands on, we have to watch. There's nothing we can do unless we lie to you, which...
Right, which could possibly
happen. Who knows?
I'm not above it.
No, we're going to honor...
If we lied, we would not have just watched The Messengers.
And we are going to honor that when we sit down to watch Some Came Running from 1959.
What?
Sounds like it's a Tony Curtis something. Is it a Tony Curtis joint? Some Came Running.
Vincente Minnelli, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Shirley MacLaine.
Okay.
Oh, this was just on TCM. A veteran returns home to deal with family secrets and small town scandals.
Who doesn't love a small town scandal? It's right in the wheelhouse still. Messengers. Small town scandals, family secrets.
2 hours and 17 minutes. Sorry. This is a big budget, late 50s book adaptation.
Wouldn't that be interesting? Sinatra, Dean Martin.
I'm ready to take this ride.
Yeah.
I've seen very few Sinatra movies. There's a chance I haven't seen a Frank Sinatra movie.
I don't think I have. Maybe I watched the original Ocean's 11.
I know I haven't. I haven't seen The Manchurian Candidate. So good. Everyone's kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. That sure looks like a movie. Much more so than The Messengers.
Right.
Which was released on February 2nd, 2007. Again, great time for a spooky movie. I know that horror movies get dumped in January and February every year.
But it's weird.
But it's weird. And especially this one, which is sunny. You didn't even go summer or spooky season. You were just like, oh, this isn't going to work.
But it always works, like, for us anyway. Like, February, there's a spooky movie.
Yeah. Scream 6 this year.
Yeah.
Guess which Scream 3 characters Mary Beth and I will be for Halloween. The answer may surprise you.
Scream 3? This is your Halloween costume?
Very technically, Scream 3 characters.
Very technically?
These are characters that appear in Scream 3.
Silent Bob and Jay and Silent Bob.
We're going to be Jay and Silent Bob.
Nice.
Amazing.
February 2nd, 2007, what was the number one song in America?
Rihanna.
No.
Katy Perry?
No. Just listing the pop stars.
Lady Gaga.
No.
Mariah Carey.
No. You'll get there. Don't leave the road you're on.
Okay.
Who else is there?
Kelly Clarkson.
Good one.
No.
Beyonce.
Yes. I sent.
Why did we? That which was way too long to get.
That's
Beyonce.
What I was saying. I mentally conjured Beyonce and sent it out into the room because I was like, "How are we not
irreplaceable?
It is irreplaceable. Yes.
Yeah, why did it take like 8?
I'm sorry.
Sorry, Beyonce.
Baby,
I feel like I need to like offer penance or something. Right.
There's something now. Now we have to make a sacrifice.
Get
on the table.
You can make it up to her by buying a very expensive movie ticket in about 3 months.
What?
She's doing the thing. She's doing.
This is gonna be a movie.
She's doing an Eras tour.
Yes.
Yeah.
How dare you say that Beyonce is doing an Eras tour?
Because. The moment